Tonight, you know, you get to hear something that is very near and dear to our hearts, the Church World Outreach Center. And I want you to open your heart because you might be thinking, hey, it's not going to be a traditional message, even though you're going to hear the word and hear some amazing things. But in a moment, part of what I do, my name is Paul, or Paul, if you can say either one, but I do missions and also a Spanish ministry. And together with our leadership team under missions, under the guidance of Pastor Dan and Jess, we do a lot of the stuff that's our missions connection that you see all the time. And one of the things we did about, 2 years ago, Pastor Kovanik came to us and said, hey, I have this friend. I had reconnected again from Bangladesh. That would be, his name is Pastor Jonathan. And so he started sharing what they were wanting to do. And so he began, and he'll explain in a little bit that. And so we ended up visiting last year because they had a graduation of their Bible college students. And so you'll see the Bible college leaders here. Dalwar and Arifa, they're a couple, and so you'll hear their testimony in a moment. But it's just amazing. We started seeing all that God is doing, and our mind was blown of what God can do in a nation. So when I got to visit last year, March of last year, really, I was really moved and touched just to see the move of God among the Hindu people, Hindu believers, and among ex-Muslims that are coming to Christ. And you're going to hear some testimonies today of what God can do when you trust Him in an amazing way. And that's something we do as a church through our prayer, through our giving. And so I just want you to keep your hearts open. And so Dr. Coburn is going to explain how we landed in this project called Bangla Mission, and then we'll show you a video, and the video gives you just an overview of everything that's happening. Then you hear the testimonies of how God has used this three to advance His gospel there in Bangladesh, and it's an amazing thing that God is doing. But let's pray together. Pastor Steve, if you can come on up, I'll get ready to pray. Father God, thank You so much that You are blessing Your word, and so I just pray that You would guide us, lead us, direct us today, Lord God, that we will open our ears to hear what You would have us to learn and receive this day. Use this word that's going out today in testimony and in video to absolutely reach everyone that watches this video or here tonight. And Lord, we always say we bless every church around the Inland Empire and around the world because You're doing Your work through them also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Pastor Steve.
All right. Is this on? Yes. Okay, if you have the background with the map of India, would you please put it up? We'll get to Bangladesh in a couple of minutes, but something very urgent has come up, and I asked Pastor Paul, and he said I could take about 3 minutes. Because you, in 1 minute, are going to be standing up and agreeing in prayer for a miracle on the other side of the world. Okay, there's India. Chhattisgarh is the state about in the middle, the red one. Okay, Saturday morning, I woke up yesterday morning to a text from a leader of a network of about 14,000 congregations in North India, where he just asked me to please pray. I can't tell you what it's about, but we have an enormous challenge and we need prayer for it. This morning when I got up, there was a text from the same leader of this network, and he said that, well, it included the truth that there's about a 5,000 knife brandishing militia men, and he sent me a video showing them brandishing their knives while they were being charged up to mob violence in order to commit genocide in three Christian villages in Chhattisgarh this coming Friday, March the 1st. Now, first I was alarmed and then panicked, and then the Lord reminded me that He's been telling me to imagine the best case scenario, not the worst case scenario. So you're going to agree with me in a minute. And I'm going to lead you in five prayers that I don't have time to talk about, so we can just pray through them. So are you ready? Will you be willing to pray loudly? Will you be willing to pray in tongues? Will you be willing to show yourself people that are going to pull down the power of God to agree with one another in the power of the prayer of agreement? Okay, first we're going to pray 1 Timothy 2:2. Thank You, Lord, that You commanded us. You commanded us to pray for those in authority so that Your people could live peaceable, quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And our brothers and sisters in Chhattisgarh will not be able to do that unless You intervene miraculously. So that's what we're praying for them. We ask, Lord, that You would strike the consciences of these men with the knives, that they would be unwilling to commit the shedding of innocent blood, that they would be unwilling to do what they were told and agreed to kill, maim, and violate Christians in these three villages. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We also come, Lord, and we ask that you would bring international news and international pressure on India to defend their constitution that says they have the right of religious freedom from these that are breaking the Constitution, Lord. And we ask specifically, will you agree with me, please, that you would bring to our new president, Donald Trump, a willingness to call Prime Minister Modi back and tell him he needs to defend his Constitution and intervene. And we also ask, Lord, for the governor, Deka in Chhattisgarh, to have his mind changed so that he will not stand by and watch while this happens, but will use his militia to protect these people. And I thank you, Lord, that you showed me that this is not a terrible start of something worse, but instead this demon, the principality of violent Hindutva, has exposed himself because he realizes he's about to lose control in North India. And so in the name and by the blood of Jesus, we command and order the spirit of Hindu violence down, out, back off, fall backwards, because the Church of Jesus is moving forward, and we pray this by the power and the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, who shames every idol. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to say one more thing with me. I'm going to say it once, and then I want you to repeat it with me the second time. Our prayers are powerful and effective in Jesus' name. Will you say that with me, please? Our prayers are powerful and effective in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. All right, go ahead and sit down. And except the three of you, would you please come up, Pastor Jonathan and Dalwar and Arifa, and sit here, please. Did you bring your microphones? All right, good. I'm going to give just a little introduction to you, to these people, for your benefit. It was about 18 years ago, I think, that I visited Bangladesh for the first time with somebody else at Pastor Jonathan's invitation. And we were there to help him train church planters in his church in one of the largest cities, one of the capital cities of Bangladesh. So then about late summer of 2021, I got a short email from Pastor Jonathan, whom I hadn't heard from for a while, asking for prayer. That was in the pandemic time. Was it your wife that had? Yes. And so we prayed for her, and she's doing fine. So thank you for your care. But in the meantime, I said, anything new God's doing there? And he said, well, yes, we've had this young couple about 3 years ago. They were Muslims, and they gave their lives to Jesus. And then we helped them. Yeah, so that's Dalora and Arifa, and hallelujah. And he said, I was able to connect them with YWAM in India, and they went there for 6 months and got trained, and they came back evangelists. Hallelujah. And so he put them to work in the towns and area around the city of Khulna, which is a big city, and they started evangelizing and baptizing new believers and organizing them into little house churches that they were training them, making disciples. And it was that they started that in January of 2022. May I have the graph behind me, please? There it is. Yes, wow. Okay, so month one down there on the left is January of 2022, when they started baptizing and organizing them into little rad churches. They'll tell you about that later. And the blue line is the new believers who were baptized. And the month numbers are through 49, which is last month. And you can see how the numbers of believers have been growing and how the numbers of house churches have been increasing, where these people are continuing to disciple and bring their friends and family. And you are watching church growth as it happened in this place. And we are so excited. Pastor Jonathan helped us to connect with them. I asked him, does Dalwar speak English? He said, yes. And I said, do you mind if I call him? And so I called up Dalwar, and we discussed for about 45 minutes. And I asked, do you have good training materials for these new believers? At that time, it was August of 2021, and they had about 40 house churches at that time. You can see the orange line growing there at about month 8. And he said, we have excellent training materials for the discipleship. Actually, they have a disciple program very similar to the ones that the SPT program that we have here. And I asked, well, what about for the leaders? You have to have leaders for these house churches. Do you have good training for the leaders? He says, no, that's what we need. Well, God had put that in my heart, because guess what? ISOM is close by. So I called up Dr. Barron and said, do we have ISOM in Bengali? He said, yes. And I said, is anybody using it? And he said, no, actually, the only one that was using it passed away a couple of years ago, and we haven't had anyone carrying on his work. So we found out that we could get a license to do Bengali ISOM. And so I was calling back and forth to Dalwar, and he said, yes, but we can't do it the way you normally do it. Well, why not? Well, our people are poor. If they'll have to study on little tarps on the dirt in front of their little houses when it's not raining, because we don't have any rooms for them to meet in. And I said, well, we'll see what we can do. I talked to Dr. Barron. He said, oh, we have these microchips. All they have to have is cell phones. So I call Dalwar back and say, so do your leaders have cell phones? He says, no, we don't. I don't even have a cell phone. And so God said, well, we can do this. I was teaching the prayer class in the Bible college at the time, and I shared this as a prayer cause in the Bible class, and I had no idea what was going to happen next. One of the students raised his hand and said, how much do those cost? Well, I talked to him about whether we could send them, and that doesn't work, whether they could buy them there. I think they were about $125 a piece if they bought them in Bangladesh. And so I shared that with the class, and the student said, I would like to donate and buy one phone for somebody. And so I was back in touch with Dalwar saying, how many phones will we need if we do this by phone? And so somebody else said, I would like to too. And over the next month or two, we raised enough for the 13 ISOM schools that they would have spread around this area. And the Rock Church, I took it to the missions committee, and they helped pay for the ones that we didn't get by individual donations. And God was just putting his hand on this. And then we saw, oh, that they won't be, if there are 8 or 10 of them in a group, they won't be able to hear very well. So we talked about Bluetooth speakers, and so then we raised some more money and bought them 13 Bluetooth speakers and sent the microchips. And in January of 2022, that's when, that'll be month 13 here, that's when ISOM started in Bangladesh, in Khulna. So that was an exciting thing. Well, in the meantime, I want to say a couple of things about this brother right here, because he has... His grandfather was the first one in his family to stop following Muhammad and start following Jesus. And it was a very costly decision for his grandfather. But his grandfather then planted a church, was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God was moving, and the church was growing. And then after that, his father took the reins from his grandfather, and the church continued to grow, and they built more things, and they got more land. You have to understand, even now, there's only 0.2% of the population of Bangladesh are Christians. And I have found out that this man not only took the reins from his father and continued to build things, but he is known among Christians throughout Bangladesh. He doesn't just lead the Assembly of God denomination, because his heart is bigger than that, but that was what grew out of his father's and grandfather's ministry. But he also does pastors' conferences. They have three or four, sometimes five, evangelistic crusade, healing crusades each year. They're planting churches also, in addition to what you'll hear about from Dalwar and Arifa. So this is a family that's following God and making the difference in a nation. Yes, let's go ahead and thank God for Pastor Jonathan. All right, so what happened here is that things kept growing. I have been in touch with different people over the years who have seen amazing things begin on the mission field and then fall flat. And so one of my main concerns of bringing ISOM was so what they had begun would continue, and as you can see, it has, because ISOM is God's answer to training people for church planting and making disciples. So I was able to go a year ago, March, 2 years ago next month, and we did a certificate graduation for the third trimester. And these people took me all over the place. I got to ride on a motorcycle, which is what he did actually. He lost the motorcycle that God had provided for him, and the church helped provide another one so that he could drive back and forth to all of these places. And Arifa has been doing the registrar work and keeping track of the grades and helping make sure all the students take the exams and do all the work. They are a great team. And now we had, 230-some graduate the first time? Yeah. Right? And now they have about just under 200 in their second round that's coming up. So they'll have a certificate graduation in May for almost 200 students. And so there's been this connection between the training of the leaders with ISOM and the growth of the number of being baptized and the people that they're organizing and leading house churches. And I'm sure that Pastor Paul will ask about the Timothys and some of the ways God is working there. I need to quit because my time's up, but I just want you to know that the two times that I've been there, once 2 years ago and then last year along with Pastor Paul, because Pastor Jonathan had the vision of when we came this last time, we would have a pastor's conference, and there were about 100 pastors there, and it was exciting how the Holy Spirit came. And this man gave us his pulpit and honor, and we are happy to honor this man and his family in the Rock Church, and we are delighted to welcome Arifa and Dalwar to share with you what God has been doing in Bangladesh with and through them. Thank you, Pastor Steve.
I don't know if anybody needs a mic, but we'll have them share in just a minute. I'm going to show you a video that gives you kind of an overall thing. Some of it you have seen, and also we always assume, because it's a language familiar to us, ISOM, it basically stands for International School of Ministry. And you've heard about Dr. Barron. Our own school uses it for our Spanish program, and basically it's a video Bible school. That's how I ended up here at The Rock almost 20 years ago when Dr. Barron invited me to translate for him. And so God has done and used this mightily. And so we're very familiar. The Rock is part of the birth of this video Bible school around the world. That's something amazing that God has used this church with. But let me show you this video. It has some pieces of what we do with ISOM in general, and then some pieces of what Shalom Church does around their region of Khulna and the region and the different regions they have there in Bangladesh. So pay attention to the screens.
So when the monsoon comes, the water comes up here?
Yeah.
More than 2 years ago, we started supporting a mission in the country of Bangladesh. Dr. Kobenick and I got to visit this country and encourage over 150 pastors in a pastor's conference about missions to encourage them to continue to preach the word. One of the things we did is we traveled through villages because we had started the ISEM, the International School of Ministry, a ministry training school for new believers. And more than 200 students got to graduate from studying the Word of God over 2 years. We ministered in youth meetings and in different areas. We were so blessed to be part of this ministry in the country of Bangladesh. But so are you. Thank you, Rock Church.
Congratulations.
Of the things you see, whether blankets or food, you've donated through the Rock, through the mission work, and we're just so grateful that we get the opportunity. So I'm going to let them talk. I think their story is fascinating. I always love to see God in other people, because when you see God in other people, then you understand what God is actually doing. And globally, for me, that's one of been my passion and heart in many ways. And I think that's the reason why God spoke to Pastor Jim, our founding pastor, to have a worldview. And our own senior pastor has shared so many times how mission impacted his own life. And so we've continued to do the work. And so I'm going to start with Pastor Jonathan, since Pastor Steve got excited and already shared your testimony. Do you have anything left to say? I'm just kidding.
I think he knows us very well, and yeah, he expressed many.
But I love their relationship and how they talk. But tell us, in a country, like Pastor Steve said, anywhere between 0.2% to half a percent, 2% to half a percent of believers, mostly are Muslims and Hindus, how do you guys end up being full gospel believer, filled with the Holy Spirit? How does that story go?
Yeah, you heard from Pastor Steve that my grandfather was converted from Muslim background, and he went through a lot of persecution, and then he has to flee away. In our country, if any Muslim family accept Jesus, he has to go through persecution. And then God filled him with the Holy Spirit, and he came back to his own village, started evangelizing his own people, and then God really used him powerfully over Bangladesh. So that was my grandfather, as he said, and my father followed him. He also planted quite many churches, and then now I'm taking care of our central church in Khulna city, which has around 250 people, and we have planted 26 churches around. And with ISM, they have small cell groups, many. So God is really using us, and you know, filling us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And because we in a country like Bangladesh, where 90% Muslim, and a lot of opposition and discrimination or persecution. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit, you know. And so God really blessed us, and so we can reach our people. We reach in various ways. The Hindus are very open in our countries. They are very receptive. But you saw we do big healing crusades. In fact, tomorrow I'm leaving America, and 26th I'm arriving Dhaka. 26th we will be starting one healing crusade. People are getting preparation. So 26th evening it will start. So God is really working. The people come and they get healed. They know the word of God. We pray salvation prayer with them. So though this country is a Muslim country, but thank God we still have opportunity to reach out. To reach out Muslims, we have to be careful, friendly, in various ways we work among them, and we really do.
That's awesome. And I got to experience that with Dr. Stephen. We were there. People are so open to the power of the Holy Spirit and healing specifically. And that's such an amazing opportunity we get, because most of the prayer we got is, can you pray for healing for me? Can you pray for healing for me? And they just want to see the power of God real. And I'm not to, say anything about our country in America and where we live, but sometimes we are so satisfied with just the theology and knowledge of God. But when you go on a mission field, there's something to be said about the experience of the power of God in your life. And that's what we're praying for in this church, that we see that in America also, that we see it here in the Inland Empire more. I mean, we see it, we hear the testimonies from our prayer teams, that we can see it in a greater abundance because of such an opening. But what an awesome thing that you guys just, face through persecution. And when I was there, a lot of the churches are, within a building like this, and they have a cross so they can be identified. You're not freely just preaching out in the streets all the time. But that building that you guys have, what other things do you have there for the community?
Yeah, we, being a poor country, we need to reach out to people. They have many needs, physical, spiritual, of course, but there are a lot of other needs. So we have started schools, and there is a very good way to reach out to any community, because Muslims or Hindus, if you go there with a school with a few teachers, they like you, because you are doing a very good social development for their children. And so you will see we have quite many of these children's school, primary schools, that we start, and then we gradually can share the word of God through our teachers. Our teachers are also our evangelists. And so we have that. Then we, we have Bible school that you saw, that we training our young people to be the future leaders. Right. And to reach to the Muslims, the kids, through the children, we bring them to our church every Friday. And and we just sing song, we play with them and the teachers, and then we give them some snacks, and then we share the word of God. And we do some community we call student friendship clubs. Student friendship clubs. That is in the community of the Muslim areas with the young people. Our young people goes there who knows each other from school or college, and then we just have some program with them, not mentioning that we will be having Christian program. But we start with games and, various kinds of things, and then we build friendship. It is through building friendship with them, we can really reach out to them, and that's what we are doing there.
That is so good, so true. I got to experience that. They took us to a school in a Muslim community, but the school was Christian. And so all these kids came from Muslim families, from little ones all the way up to 17, 18 years old. It was a few. And Dr. Coveney got to share the power of God. I share my testimony, how my parents came to the Lord. And it was just such a beautiful opening to reach young people. And they were very receptive. They had questions. They wanted to know. And you guys already know our story, that everywhere we went, Dr. Coveney was Joe Biden. Everybody said, hey, you look like Joe Biden. And so that gave us an opening to share the gospel too. yes, right?
Now we need Trumps to come to Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really like to welcome you. If more mission teams comes from your church, Pastor Dan and others, we really like to welcome you.
Yeah, so he wants a bunch of us to go there. I think God is opening the door for that. That's awesome. Let me switch the story a little bit. And so I don't know if you see that guy with the red shirt, that picture. So I was with Dalwa. I said, Dalwa, I know you guys do tea here, but I am a coffee drinker. So we pull over the road and we find this guy. That's the Starbucks of Bangladesh right there. That guy made me the best cup of coffee I've had in a long time. He was right on the side of the street. And so Dalwa and I were getting to know in that trip. We were driving together. Him and Arifa are obviously, as you heard, from a Muslim background. But I've heard your story, but I don't think they've heard how you guys as young Muslims find yourself in the need of God and how you come to that. Can you share for us?
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity to share with the wonderful people to be here. Actually, my name is Delwar Hossain and my wife, Arifa. We born and grew up in a Muslim family. Actually, I was a businessman from the being very young. I used to do business, and God blessed me so much. Then, whatever I need for my family, I can provide. So, it's quite good. But 2017, from March, I don't know what happened with my some of business my sector that is going down day by day. So I was so stubborn because I make money from the zero. So I don't want to lose my business sector. So whatever I have, I just sold and invest again in my business sector. But after 9 months, I was bankrupt. 2017 in December. Then I told Arifa that now you can leave me because I don't have any house right now and I don't have any money. So you can go your house, stay there, and I hope I'll be back when I will be.
So you're saying your economy was so bad that you told your wife, go back to your dad's house.
Yes.
And leave me so that I can figure out. Yeah, to your dad's house.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I can in our country, it's happened. Gotcha. So Arifa was told that no. We have a good time. We spend so many times with you, so I don't want to live in bad time, and I don't want to let you go alone, so I'll be with you. So I was thinking, wow. So in our country, as a man, I can sleep on the street, I can sleep in a mosque, and a railway station, bus station, I can sleep anywhere. But with a woman, I can't do that because so many rape cases is there. So I was thinking of where I should go. Then I remember one Christian brother, his name is Julian. Why I remember him? Because I used to support him because he is living by faith. So many times he's struggle with finance, so I used to give money.
As
whatever I was Muslim also, but I used to because we have so we have good friendship.
So Julian was a Christian. You were giving him money when he was a Christian, and you were a Muslim to help him. And now you find yourself having to reach out to
him. Then I thought that it would be good because I used to help him, so maybe he can help me. So that time was my Christmas time, and he went in village for celebration Christmas. So I called him and I shared that I need shelter. Then he was shocked. Okay, I will hear later, but I will come back. But you can go with Arifa in my house and you can stay over there. Then he back to his home and we shared all the things of what happened last 9 months with me. Then he was sad and he told me that yes, we have extra room. You can stay there, but you know our financial condition, so if we eat, you will eat, so we will share. And then we started. The first month was so good. We spent good time. But second month, he started to share gospel with me again. Again, why? Because the last 12 years, he is doing same things with me. And at that time, I have money and power, so that's why I ignore him always. But this
What a powerful statement. So for 12 years, he's preaching to you. You're saying, I don't need you. I got money. I got my thing. We're friends, but I don't need you. Now you're no money, having to live in his house, in his room, and he's saying, if we eat, you eat, and then we'll figure it out. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Then he started my share of gospel. Then I was so crazy, and I was angry, but Arifa always become me, don't be angry because they are giving shelter and three times food, so don't be angry. So, yeah.
That is a wise woman, that's what the Bible says. So,
then I was calm, but I was angry inner side, and so many, we have fight also with Arifa because she is trying to stop me. Then one day, Julian came and shared that, come in our house church and we were gonna pray for you. So I was so crazy, and that time I just want to beat him. I don't care. I just, even though I can kill him, right? So Arifa again, just they're going to pray for us. So what is happening? So let's go. And we will move soon when we will get job or something like that. So please don't create a scene.
Right.
So we went, and that time Julian shared from Bible and Quran also for comparison. And he shared about from Bible, Matthew 17, verse 20, that if you have faith like mustard seed, you can move mountain here to there. So
Amen.
That verse convicted Arifa, that Arifa was convicted, because the situation we are going through, that she was thinking that this is the mountain.
Right.
If I can pray in Jesus' name, if it gone, so what's the problem?
Yeah.
So I don't know. She was thinking like this, maybe. I don't know.
And I love that part about, he shared that part of the testimony with me, and Adifa will talk a little more about that. But that powerful of just one verse, you never know what the Word of God can do in someone's life. Yeah. One verse was said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. You might think, I just set that out there, but somehow God used that verse in order to reach their heart. And that's just so powerful to hear. Would you give God a praise for that? I just love that. I enjoy so much. Dalwar, I want you to tell me before we go to Arifa and come back to Pastor Navena here. You told me that in order to prove your friend wrong, you bought a Bible and you said, I'm going to read the Bible and the Quran, and I'm going to prove you that is better the other way. Correct?
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Okay.
Yes. Then that night I was asleep, but I heard that Arifa was praying in Muslim way, and she is praying in Jesus' name. So I was shocked, what is happening here? So I can live without money, without house, without car, it's okay. But without wife, it's impossible right now, because I love her so much. And then I took a challenge that...
they're the same in Bangladesh, I guess. Okay, we'll see.
So I started reading Bible and Quran, because Quran in Bangla version. I can read in Arabic language, but I don't know the meaning what is written in Quran. So definitely if I want to prove that my religion is correct, so that's why I need to understand what is written in Quran. So one verse really I got heard from Quran, that if my wife is not submitted to me, then I can beat her. But I don't like this verse, because she has rights to say no to me, so how I can beat her? One thing, and another thing is, I love what Jesus said, that love your neighbors as yourself. Really, it's a really good verse and transformed me. And another verse is, if someone slapped your one cheek, then you can turn around one. So these are the things how a man can say like this.
Right.
So it should be from Quran, but I found in Bible.
In Christianity.
Yeah.
What amazing. So what you're saying is, you started reading the Quran in a language you understood, not in Arabic, in order to prove your friend that it was better than Christianity. Then you find that Christianity is more loving in the ways that it was telling you to do. My
yes.
goodness, that's awesome.
Then one day we shared with Arifa, we had a conversation 9 hours. That time I shared that so many things I found from Bible, and I loved it. And that day Arifa was sharing that she tried to commit suicide, what I don't know. And I was sharing with her that, yes, I do same thing, but you don't know. So let's... before that, we tried to commit suicide, so we are die. So in Jesus, we have hope. So
Amen.
Let's start journey with Jesus, with the hope. But we are. But I was a businessman, that's why I am very logical and practical person. So that's why I told Arifa, I'm just started to believe him, but he have to prove himself that he is living God. Otherwise, Allah and Jesus, there is no difference. So we shared with Julian, and he said to me, if you want to know more Jesus, so you can go to YM, to DTS. This time in India, you can find that option. So we went in India for DTS, 6 months we have been there. And during this time, yeah, he is living God, he proven himself. And we back to Bangladesh after 6 months. During this time, you got a message that Arifa's sister sent to her that for us, you both are dead. So don't come in our life, because for you, Muslim community was threatening us, and if they can find you, they will kill you. So don't be...
So you were removed from your family, because you're a Christian.
They rejected us, and Muslim community also trying to find out us. So that's why we are not feel that we are safe in Dhaka. So we are trying to find another city, so where we can go. So that time we found another YM base from Khulna. Then they allow us to stay over there. Then we went and we found this wonderful man. And he, from the beginning, he just gave us shelter.
That's awesome.
Then we started doing ministry. We gave our life to the Lord.
That's so
we
good.
We started doing
ministry. Come back to the ministry part of it, of that in a minute. I'll let Arifa tell it, but just so you guys know, YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission, and they're a very large mission. I started many years ago by a man named Lauren Cunningham with an amazing testimony. And DTS stands for Disciple Training Mission School, which is how they disciple people and train them in the mission field. That's kind of what he went through in that area. But Arifa, your stories are intertwined together, but you have a different aspect than what Dawar had to go through in terms of processing. Would you give us kind of like your brief portion that you share with me? We had a long road. We had like 3 hours to go one place, 3 hours come back. So for the entire version, I'm giving you the reduced version here because we got like 10 minutes left. But go ahead, share with us.
Yes, as Pastor said, yes, I'm a talkative person. I can take the whole sermon session. So yes, he knows that. Oh, so yes, that's why we reduced that part. Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity that we gave. It was given to us. For a time, I was zoned out, trust me, because this is the moment, maybe I can't believe that God brought us this stage, and still now I don't believe it. Like, I'm zoned out. I don't know. So forgive me or pardon me if I say something wrong or something. So, yes. So when Delwar shared the whole story, I will just put my thing that how God convicted me first. I don't know why God chose me first. Still, I don't know. But yes, in the house church when that brother called us to pray, so I was looking for hope, like my husband said that we tried to commit suicide. That was the day that I tried to commit suicide. And that was exactly the horrible way maybe anyone can imagine. It is hard to talk about on this face, so I don't want to cry on this big platform. So... yes, so that was the day, maybe Lord knows that this is the moment that I can bring my child. So when the brother said that, come into our church and we will pray for you. So I don't know the signs and wonder, we don't know anything about it. We said, okay, so I just said, the Lord, let's go. It's about prayer. Nothing bad about it. It's just a prayer. So yes, we went there. There are tons of verses. He's comparing. He is trying to convince. But like I said, sometimes I zone out. So I just heard one thing that from Matthew. I don't know it's about Matthew or what is the chapter. I just hear that Matthew 17:20, it says that you have faith as small as mustard seed. So I just like, okay, what was that? So it's like, as small as mustard seed. In our place, in our country, mustard seed is very famous. The sauce and the thing, yes. So I said, oh, faith like mustard seed, I have that. I have faith like mustard seed. So if you say to the mountain, you can move here to there, it will be moved and nothing will be impossible for you. So I don't know what is the conviction and the thing, yes, but that was the moment I said, yes, I am going to pray to his name. Because my problem here is as big as mountain, and as simple I have to do just to pray is his name. And I will say the mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved. And he says that nothing will be impossible for me.
Amen.
So on that night, we have a last prayer as our Muslim belief system, that is Isha. So I was praying, and I was saying to Allah that this is the last time that I am praying to you. And because you are dead, you are doing nothing, just to looking to your child, because your child is suffering. Oh, sorry, we are not child, we are servant. Okay, yes. So I was praying, and during that prayer time, I was zoned out. Till now, I don't remember what I prayed. But like the Lord shared that when he was in the room, he was furious. And when in the middle of the prayer, he was just like me. And I said, what? I said, what you were praying? I said, I am praying. So he said, you are praying in Jesus' name. And I was crying. I was out loud. Only one thing I was saying, that in Jesus' name, I'm saying then move mountain here to there, and it will be moved. It will be moved. It will be moved. It was just like this. So So that's the moment. He was angry. Yes, I can understand. But I don't know, for the first time in that time, that I felt peace.
Amen. Praise God.
I found hope. Trust me. It was not that salvation thing that Jesus will give us me salvation. I just found hope. Because I don't have hope till that moment. Because I tried to commit suicide. No, someone was there to hold me back and stop me, that don't end your life.
Come on.
So it is something that someone was telling me, that someone was out there just to say that I love you. Yes. I don't know about the Holy Spirit, that I'm nothing, but someone just pulled me back from that 15th floor that I was going to jump. Yes. So I don't know why God chose me first for his revelation, but yes, he did that. And we had a 9 hours long conversation. And during that time, we studied Quran and Bible together in a practical way, lots of debates, lots of scholar book, but we didn't find nothing wrong about what Jesus said. Nothing.
That's awesome. Come
nothing.
On.
Trust me, if I'm saying this, there's nothing wrong. How can a man say this, that love your neighbors as yourself? Who says that like this? He says something like this. So, yes, we committed that, okay, we are dead in our earlier faith, but we have hope. We both said we have hope. So we are going to hold on to that hope. We don't know what our future is, what is going to be bringing, but we are going to hold on to that hope.
That's
so
amazing.
We hold that hope, and we started that journey, and now we are here in front
That's
of you.
That's awesome. Come on. I have a question kind of to close it out, but Arifa, you told me something that really ministered to me, because a lot of times we don't understand the price that is paid, and Pastor Jonathan alluded to it with his grandfather and his father, but you weren't even able to see your father pass away because you have become a Christian, and your family said you can't come. So at what point were you able to mourn your father, and how did you make that connection?
So yes, like Brother Paul said, yes, there is consequence that we have to pay for this. So we are not able to see our families for 5 years. My sister sent me the message when I opened my phone when we are back to Bangladesh. So that message was clear, like, you guys are both dead for us, and don't even come near to our families, because for you, both of you, we are suffering. We are getting pressures from the Muslim community, and don't try to get involved anymore with us. So it was, you can understand that it was hard. But we never, for a single day, we never stop praying for our families, that we believe that God has his own time to bring everything together. So 2022, so we got that opportunity to enter our family. It's not like earlier, nothing like before. But it is that, okay, at least we can talk, we can visit, we can see each other. So that was the time, that was the moment that God opened the door. And I believe if God can do that, and God will bring my whole families and our families to
Amen.
His kingdom.
That's awesome. Pastor Jonathan, in a culture where obviously two religions clash, what did God speak to you in order to bring them under your covering? What did you see?
you know, there's so many Muslims around. They are 90%, and we must do something to talk to them about Jesus, you know, share our gospel. So whenever I heard them that they have come out of this situation, and I can relate because our grandfather from there is a Muslim background, and also there are other families that have come from Muslim background to our church, so we know how challenging situation they go through. So immediately I understood what they need. So I reached out my hand to them and said, you know, whatever I can help, so let them stay in our compound. I gave them a room to stay, and then gradually they started doing ministry with me, and gradually you also started to help. So yeah, because we also found a potential among them. I saw the call of God on their life. And so when I embraced them and started using them, sheltered them, I saw great things happening through their life.
Amen. Yes. And that's what a spiritual father does. They identify what you have, they encourage what you have, and they support it. And we're just so grateful what God is doing. I'll close with this. What is God doing now? Like Dr. Steve shared, you guys are doing these RAD churches, growing churches, RID, not RIT, RAD churches, you guys call it. But basically, we got to experience that. We went into the community, saw them getting together, doing their Bible schools. We saw water baptism, which I thought we had an image of it there in the village. But what are you currently doing in your evangelistic outreach?
Yeah, actually, we are sharing gospel through our testimony. These are the things we called 2, 3, 4. And then we taught them ABC, like assurance of salvation, B, baptism, C, commandments. So through this, the testimony.
Repeat that? What are the ABCs? What are
they? A means assurance of salvation. They have to, when they will hear about Jesus, they will sinner prayers, then we have to give, we have to taught them that you have assurance of salvation. And B is baptism. So when we teach them about baptism, they are ready to take baptism. Then C is, after taking baptism, now we have the responsibility to share the gospel. You are also the part of this. So these are the things, and we have Paul's pattern. We are following the Paul's pattern. Paul make Timothy. Timothy became Paul, and he also make Timothy. So something like this. So yeah, we are doing like this. And through this journey, 2,308 baptism already have done through our ministry, and 351 small group churches already we have planted, and five places is there to place that more than 200 believers is there. And if we can build one church over there, then they can come together and worship God, and they can grow up with the word of God. And another thing we need, because in Bangladesh, 4 months, 5 months, we have rainy season.
Right.
The floods incoming. And you already, Pastor Dan, you supported us for the flood, you know.
Victims,
so there's the things. That time, people are disconnected with us, and that time we are losing so many believers, new believers. So that's why if we can do this, then they can come, and they can we can connect it with them.
Amen.
And we have now ISM schools. Last 2 years when you visited us, that time more than 230 people already graduated, and now we have around 193 students already, they are going on.
Enrolled. That's awesome. And we got to praise for them and for their life. And we can keep going. I've heard this story over hours and hours of driving to different places. This can go on. You know, Pastor Jonathan's a spiritual father, and just a beautiful church and the things they've done there. And then Dawa and Arifa carrying on this advancements of the work of God and us as a church, not only for Dr. Coleman to bring it, but for our pastors and our and how we are that we are supporting. These are your missionaries, so you know. These are your people doing the work of God in the country of Bangladesh because of your generous giving. So we're so grateful for that to you guys.
I just want to express my thankfulness to Rock Church, Pastor Dan, Pastor Paul, Pastor Steve, and all of you, because you stood behind us, you are praying for us, and you have encouraged us, and also for this opportunity to come here in this conference, in this church, that really blessed us. Thank you so much.
Amen. Would you stand your hand? Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for our friends, our brothers and sisters in the Lord and in faith, that you've done such an amazing work, Father, and we get the privilege to partake. We read so much of this in the Word of God, how Paul encouraged others to partake with others and send them along, and not just finances, but in prayer and encouragement in everything we do. So, Father, we pray for them, and we speak encouragement into their life and strength and protection in everything they do, Father, that the seed they're scattering everywhere, we see the fruit coming up. We're just so blessed that we get to be a little part of this amazing work that you're doing. Father, that you continue to use Pastor Jonathan as a father, spiritual father to many and others that will come, and Dawa and Arifa, the gift you've given them of evangelism and reaching, Lord God, may you impact it and grow it in an amazing way, Father, and us as the rock, that you would continue to provide and bless us so that we can send and provide for others to advance the gospel and be sustained. Thank you so much for their lives and their family. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Come on, give God a praise. Thank you, guys. You may be seated for a couple minutes. We're about to end, and we're going to pray together. And, you know, we always ask two questions. Look, first question is this. What is God speaking to you tonight? You know, you hear someone else's testimony, and I've shared with you what God spoke to me. I mean, God spoke to me through Arifa a year ago when she said, if I have faith is a mustard seed. I thought, this person has no Christian background, and she's telling the Lord, I got faith as a mustard seed. Maybe God spoke to you something. Would you close your eyes right there where you're at and say, God, what are you speaking to me? What is my challenge? How can I believe you for great things? And let him share to your heart. Thank you, Father. Father God, we're so grateful for your beautiful word and the testimony that we've heard tonight. And your word says that we'll overcome, that we'll defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so tonight, the enemy has been defeated by the word of the testimony, Lord God, that you would advance not only in their nation, but in our nation, the gospel of truth and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you remain seated right there? If you've never given your life to Christ, if you heard someone else who said, hey, I put my faith in Christ because I was seeking hope and he gave me what I needed, I want to challenge you with that tonight. The Bible says that Jesus went to the cross and died for him because you need him and I need him. And so it's such a powerful way to do it. He said, man, I'm going to the cross because you need him. There's no other way to access the Father if it's not through Jesus. He says, not me, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And you heard it tonight from two people who said, we compare two different beliefs and we understood that Jesus was saying the truth. So tonight, many of us say, Pastor, I'm in a Christian nation. I've heard already the story of Christ. We celebrate Christmas and Easter. I've already seen this. I'm not against God, but I'm not wholeheartedly for God. Tonight, God is asking me to launch you a challenge. Here's a challenge. Would you take a step into saying yes to Christ to be your Lord and your Savior? To be absolutely the leader of your life from this day forward. To say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to do life my way. I want to do life your way. That is trusting God. And he had a conversation with a man that was religious in John chapter 3. And this man was so religious, he was almost perfect. The word of God says in John 3:1 that he was a leader. He was a leader of the Pharisees. See, this man knew everything. This man knew the Old Testament, dressed properly. He understood all the stuff about religion. But Jesus told him, listen, Nicodemus, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. And born again, a lot of times, is put in our context as something, oh, those are the weird, in all the movies, they're weirdos, they say the crazy things. I don't want to look crazy, I don't want to feel weird, so therefore, I don't want that. But Jesus is saying, if you want to see me, and you want to experience the Father in heaven, you have to be born again from your soul. And tonight, I want to give you that opportunity. Who's you? In a moment, do that. If you've never done this, I'm going to ask you today that you do that, that you listen to the voice of God, challenge you today to do that. And in a moment, this is how we do it in our church. I count to three, and when you hear the number three, you raise your hand right where you're at. Right where you are, you're going to raise your hand, and you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to pray tonight to ask Jesus into my heart. And tonight, the time has gone forward, so we're going to pray in our seats, but I want to get this this step is so crucial into your life, because if we just leave here, you heard a good story, watch some videos, but if you never take the challenge into your life, then you don't take a serious commitment for Christ. I want to invite you tonight to do that. Who should raise your hand when I count to three? If you've never done this, tonight is your night. Who should raise your hand when I count to three? If you maybe did this, Pastor, I did that prayer with a friend, with a crusade, but your life did not follow what you said with your mouth. Tonight is the night to make a recommitment. How about this? You know God's speaking to you. Right where you're sitting, you know in your heart, hey, that's for me. I've been away from Christ. I want to make a commitment today to follow Christ from this day forward. If that's you, I count to three. You raise your hand right where you're at, and we'll pray together. Ready? One, two, and three. Is there anyone in this place? Your moment. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. You can put it right down. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. Put it right back down. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. But tonight is your moment to say, hey, Pastor, that's me. I'm making a serious commitment about Christ in this moment. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. How awesome. Thank you, Lord. Even online, we'll pray in a moment. But if you're here tonight and you're saying, hey, what I heard, I need to take this serious. I want to take a step for my soul to be safe, for hope to enter into my life. If there's anyone else other than those three, four hands that I saw today, this is your moment of salvation. Say, hey, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Imagine that they've almost lost their life because they believed in Christ. They took it so serious. They said, whatever it takes to get hope, this is your moment of salvation. I want to pray and move forward, but God is asking me to give you a little bit more time. There's three more of you saying, I want to do that, but I'm not sure. God's speaking to me. He's speaking to you. If that's you, just go, you know what, Pastor? That was me. I don't want to put it aside anymore. This is your moment of salvation. Don't pay attention to your neighbor. Pastor, they might think I'm a Christian or whatever. It doesn't matter. My job is to give you that opportunity. If you're one of those three, just say, Pastor, that's me. And we'll pray together in just a moment. I'll give you 10 more seconds and we'll pray. Be ashamed for you to put Christ aside just because you were embarrassed for a moment. Don't make that trade. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for being brave. If you're number two or three, this is your moment. This is your moment of salvation. I can't force you to do it, but God is asking me to open the opportunity. My last call. Perfect. Let's pray together with those five souls. Can we give God a praise for those five souls? Right in your seat. Right in your seat. We're going to pray. Repeat after me. And it's not a formula. The book of Romans says that you confess with your mouth, but you believe in your heart. Remember that faith is what's going to connect you with Christ and be born again in a moment. Even from your house, you can praise with it. Let's pray together. Father God, I invite you today into my heart. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins, the wrongdoings I've committed against you. But this day, I believe in your Son to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to follow you from this day and until eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give God a praise for that. So beautiful. Hey, listen, if you gave your heart, if you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you know you should, Pastor Joel is right here and his team. They're going to wait for you. They're going to have some books of information that's going to help you get strong. Remember they talked about the ABCs? He's going to show you five things that will strengthen your walk with God so that you can make it to the end, because that's the end goal. Seeing Jesus is the end goal. This is the beginning of something he's going to do in your life. So at the end of the service, connect with our SBT, and they're going to help you how to do that. Did you get anything from God tonight? I hope you did. What a blessing. What a blessing. Would you stand tonight? Would you stand? Thank you so much for letting us go a little bit over to hear the testimony of our friends, your missionaries. And at the end, they'll be right here if you want to greet them, pray with them. I'm sure they'll love some of that too. But let me bless you tonight. Would you raise your hand? Father God, thank you so much for your people. These are your children. We bless them today from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. May they be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and blessed going, that everything they put their hand to, it will prosper. And we say about your Inland Empire in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
What a blessing.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.